So turn your Bibles to James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. We're going to be talking about being thankful for one another. Last week we talked about one of the one another's in the Bible, and that was to love one another. And we took that word love and we broke it down into four words. First, L, learn. We're to learn about each other. We're to, in order for us to love one another, we need to learn about each other. We need to learn what we like, what we don't like, and also, if you're going to witness to someone, you need to learn about that person so you can talk to them and begin to share Jesus with them. The next letter was O, because we're spelling out love. It was obey. We're to obey the commandments of Christ. We're to love thy neighbor as thyself. We're to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. And we're to apply that love and that obedience to others. Value. We're to value life. We talked about the sanctity of life. We talked about how life begins at conception. We talked about that all life matters and that God loves all people and Jesus died for all people. So we want to value life. And then the last letter was E. We're spelling out love is the word encourage. We're to encourage one another. If we see someone that hadn't been in church in a while, give them a call. Encourage them to come to church. If we see somebody that's at church and they appear to be struggling a little bit, we're to encourage them. Well, today we're going to talk about something that might sound unusual, but it's what the Word of God says. Today we're going to talk about confessing our sins to one another. Whoa, watch out. Are we going to start a new tradition where every Sunday morning somebody comes up here and goes, I've sinned this week? No. Yeah. Bless me, church, for I have sinned. No, that's not what it's about, but we're going to discuss what it's about today. So James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, and the Word of God says this. Is any one of you in trouble, children? Kendall, are you in trouble this morning? Is anyone in trouble? He should pray. He or she should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him or her sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders or the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this next one another we're going to be talking about, to confess our sins to one another. Lord God, there's no salvation if I confess my sins to a fellow church member. I don't get saved by confessing my sins to anyone but Jesus Christ. I do not get saved unless I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, confess that I believe that I'm a sinner, confess my sins before an almighty God, and then accept the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. But today, Lord, as we talk about the confession of the sins, I ask you, Lord God, to guide my talk, guide my speech. Lord Jesus, I must decrease and you must increase. Father God, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for this time to come together and study your word, read your word, and meditate on your word. So Father God, thank you for this beautiful day you've made for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. So confess your sins to one another. Does that mean this? Does that mean I'm going to get up here and go, church, I have sinned. Last week I stole 2 pens from work. I did it. I'm a pen thief. You can ask Jennifer. How many pens do I have at home from work? We've got a lot of pens. I'm not even going to count. Something about a pen going in my hand, it just goes in my hand and straight into my pocket. I don't know what it is. I just keep pens. And last week, my new boss, she called me out on it. I went to walk out of her office. She goes, hey, where you going with my pen? I went, oh, I am sorry. And I went ahead and admitted to her, I'm a pen thief. Well, it is good to confess our sins to one another, but before we get to that part, I want to talk about a couple of questions that James is asking in this chapter here, chapter 5. The first question James asks right there in verse 13 is any one of you in trouble? Is any one of you in trouble? Now, if you ever been in trouble, raise your hand. You ever been in trouble? Right? Everybody, Trista, raise your hand. You foul out in basketball all the time. You get in trouble all the time. Okay, so everybody has agreed they've been in trouble before. Raise your hand if you enjoyed being in trouble. See, nobody raised their hand on that one. It's not fun being in trouble. And you know, you're not in trouble if you don't what? If you don't get caught, right? Right? You're not in trouble if you don't get caught. But when you get caught doing something you shouldn't be doing, you're in trouble. So James is asking, is there anyone in trouble? Well, what kind of trouble can there be in life? Well, there can be financial trouble. I'm telling you, I wasn't always a financially sound individual. I would spend money like it was going out of style. You know, it just come in my left hand, and man, I just going to go get this, going to go get that. I was feeding that appetite that I had for things. And I would just spend money like I just spend it. You know, as soon as I'd get it, it was gone. Well, now my appetites are different. I mean, I still like to eat food, but my appetites for the things of this world are different, and I just don't spend money on things I just don't really need. The other day, I showed a friend of mine a crossbow that I had, and he says, well, why aren't you using that crossbow? I was like, well, it needs a scope. And he's like, well, why don't you put a scope on the crossbow? And I was like, I just don't want to put any money into it right now. It's just not an important thing to me. And he goes, well, what are you going to do with the crossbow? I said, I'm probably not even going to use it. So I gave him the crossbow. And he goes, why are you giving this to me? I was like, just take it. You seem like you're going to use it more than I am. I really don't need it. I got another one. I'll shoot my dad's crossbow. Here, you just have this. And he's like, no, I'm going to pay you for it. I was like, well, whatever. Pay me whenever. 10 years ago, 8 years ago, I'd have went and bought a new scope on that thing. I'd have poured money into it to get it right. And, you know, I'd have wasted a lot of time, effort, and money on just a crossbow. You know, I just waste money on stuff that I just waste money on. So that I would get myself into financial trouble. So that's one kind of trouble we can be in. We can be in financial trouble. We can also be in spiritual trouble. Now, whenever a Christian sins, because we still sin, whenever we sin, we create a little bit of a void or a separation from fellowship from God because of the sin in our life. So we need to confess sin to God. Say, look, I've sinned. And if you haven't gotten in the wonderful habit, if you will, and not that it's a habit, but the wonderful privilege it is to confess your sins to God, you should do so. We all do things that we should not do. And when we do those things, instead of carrying those sins around, we need to just confess them up. Say, Lord, I've done this. I shouldn't have did it. It was wrong. Forgive me, Lord. And you know what happens? You instantly get forgiven. You don't put forgiveness on layaway. You don't have to pay on it for 90 days. You get forgiven instantly. So there's trouble. There's spiritual trouble. There's also trouble in home life. Raise your hand if you've ever had trouble at home. Hey, there you go. Look, I cannot think of a perfect home. There is no such thing. And even those people that, I guarantee that Billy Graham and his wife had problems. I guarantee they had problems with their children. I guarantee they had cousins that were just not right in the head. We all have problems at home, right? We've all had trouble at home. Well, we also have trouble at church. Raise your hand if you ever had trouble at church. And I'm going to just be honest. There's always something going on. Somebody said something and you just don't want to hear it. There's always some kind of trouble going on. Well, what does James say here we should do for trouble? Well, the answer is right here in verse 13. He says, is anyone in trouble? He should pray. When's the last time you've prayed? We should have a very, very active prayer life. We should pray in the morning when we wake up, thanking God that we're awake again. When we sit down at lunchtime, whether we're at work or whether we're at home, we should thank God for that meal. We should pray. Well, the apostle James is saying here, if you're in trouble, whatever trouble it is, you should pray. Let him pray. Prayer works. Amen? Well, here's the next question James asks. He says, is anyone happy? Okay, well, how's your job going, Kevin? Look, Jake, I'm happy this morning. I'm happy. If I was on Duck Dynasty, I know that's an old reference, but I'd be happy. Because right now, everything's going great at my job. Now, does that mean that couldn't change Tuesday? Well, of course it could. But instead of being swayed by the winds and moved from here to there, I'm just going to be stable and grounded in the joy of the Lord. You know, happiness can be affected. But as of right now, I'm happy at my job. Well, am I happy with my walk with the Lord? Yes. Could there be areas that there'd be some improvement on? Of course. But I tell you, I'm a lot closer to Christ now than I was 7, 8 years ago. I've seen the growth in me because of Christ, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm happy where I am right now in my walk with the Lord. All right, what about this? How's my home life? Well, you know what? What's the saying, Bo? happy wife, happy life. Or happy wife, happy life, right? Jennifer, are you happy this morning? Are you happy this morning? Okay, good. Happy wife, happy life. Now, does that mean that our happiness might go away Tuesday? Probably. I'm sure I will stick my foot in my mouth probably this afternoon. I'm sure there's going to be something that will cause the happiness to sway a little bit. But we're happy right now. Well, what about this? Am I happy with my church? Am I happy with our fellowship here? Yes. Everything's great. I'm happy to be here this morning. So what should I do because I'm happy? Well, the Word of God says, let him sing songs of praise. So first, if I'm having trouble, I should pray. Second, if I'm happy, I should sing and praise. Right? Can I get amen this morning? Amen? Well, now, James gets to a question. Who is sick? Now, sickness can be a twofold thing. There's physical sickness and there's spiritual sickness. And both of them have a lot of things in common. For instance, if you're physically sick, what's one of the first things that goes? Your appetite. You're no longer hungry because you're sick. You don't feel like eating. Your appetite is just not there. Same thing with your spiritual sickness. When you're spiritually sick, when you're out of fellowship with God, your appetite for the things of God, they just go away. You no longer desire to be at church. You no longer desire to serve. There's something going on in your spiritual walk that's causing this separation. Well, when you're physically sick, there's something that causes your loss of physical appetite. You've got a bug. You've got a virus. There's something going on where you're sick. You don't feel good. Same thing with your spiritual walk. If there's sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life, you're going to have a decrease in your spiritual appetite. And the only way to fix the spiritual side of this is to repent. It's to confess sin. It's just go ahead and get it out there. I've done this wrong. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to do this again. Help me, Lord, and allow the Spirit of God to come in and help you through these things you're struggling with so that that appetite for godly things come back in. Well, what should you do if you're physically sick? Well, what does the Bible say here? It says, is any of you sick? He should call to the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Wait a minute. You mean if we get sick, we can actually be healed? Yes. Yes, you can. Well, Brother Kevin, sometimes you just get a bug and you just need to suffer through it. Well, okay. Go right ahead, but Word of God says, look, go to the elders. Well, who are the elders? Well, here at Heritage Baptist Church, we have deacons, Bob and Bo. We have me, the pastor. It says, go to them and ask them to anoint you with oil and pray over you. The power of that isn't in the oil. The oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. The oil is being poured on you or anointed on your head. That's a representation of the Holy Spirit. The one that's going to do the healing isn't the pastor, isn't the elder. The one that's going to do the healing of this sickness is Spirit of God. Jesus is going to heal somebody. And you know what causes that healing? That simple act of faith. Sometimes when people get sick, they have the opposite response. They think, well, so-and-so should come see me. Well, wait a minute. The Bible just said, if you're sick, you should go to one of the elders. Now, not always is somebody that's physically sick going to be able to go to one of the elders or go to the pastor and ask to be anointed with oil and ask to be prayed over. But oftentimes, maybe you're dealing with a crud or maybe you're dealing with something that's just not going away. What God wants you to do, what the Word of God says to do, is go to one of the elders in faith, not in faith in the elder, but in faith in Christ, that this prayer that you're praying is going to be answered. And it'll be answered. God doesn't, He doesn't say something to be proven wrong. Healing can and does happen. I think what we do sometimes, though, is we don't want to get let down. We don't want to get discouraged when it doesn't happen. So immediately we've already got doubt in our head. Oh, well, I need to go to the doctor and I'll get a Z-Pack or I'll get some penicillin and I'll just take these things, and then I'll be better. And then for weeks and weeks, you're struggling with it. And maybe some of you are praying. But get somebody else involved in your prayer. That's what James is saying. Go get an elder. Go get the pastor. And y'all can two come into an agreement that you're tired of this sickness and you want it to go the way. And pray together. And the Bible says here, the prayers of a righteous man will not go unanswered. God hears those prayers. Well, another thing about a physical sickness and a spiritual sickness is the loss of activity. When we're physically sick, we're just not as active as we used to be. What was it? Was it about 2 years ago that I got the flu? It was about 2 years ago that I come down with the flu, and I was out of work for like a week and a half. And man, I was sick. The only thing I was able to do as far as activity-wise, Jake, I was able to play The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. I was able to play video games, right? I sat in a recliner like I was about to die playing video games. I couldn't do nothing else. The only activity I had was with these two thumbs. Just miserable, sick, couldn't eat. Just so sick. Do what? Which? Oh, Jennifer said it was a man cold. I was sick. Call it what you want to call it. I was sick. And my activity was just down, you know, and I didn't feel like doing anything other than playing video games. It didn't feel like eating. I was not active at all. Just sat there in that chair, just wallowing in my own self-pity. Jennifer, would you please bring me a blanket? Oh, Jennifer, will you give me some soup? I need some soup. Oh, Jennifer, help me. And Jennifer would come out there like, suck it up, man. Come on. But I was sick. But my activity level went down, so... Same thing happens with your spiritual sicknesses. When you get sin in your life and that little bit of a separation starts beginning, not as far as you're going to lose your salvation. You're not going to lose your salvation. But you get some separation in there, and you just lose fellowship. You lose association with. And first, your appetite for the things of the Lord goes away, and then your activity for the things of the Lord go away, and you stop coming to church, or you stop praying, or you stop studying, and then you're getting sicker spiritually, and you're like, oh, I feel miserable, and then you're like, oh, woe is me. And first thing we like to do here as Baptists is we like to blame people at the church. Oh, if it wasn't for folks down there at that church, I'd be there this morning. And the truth is, you need to look in the mirror, because the one that controls who comes to the church isn't the people at the church, it's you. So just come to church. But you know what? I used to be the world's king of church skipping. I did. I'd only go when there's maybe a potluck. Can't you tell? I'd only go when I was a youth. I'd only go if there was something going on. Oh, they're going to the fair Friday night? Mom, Dad, I'm going to youth group. They're doing something. You know, I wouldn't get into a routine. There was that separation. I just didn't care. It's just whatever, you know. But I've come to understand that the more I'm in fellowship, the more I'm around godly people, the better off I am. I might not always be happy, but at least I know I'm surrounded by my brothers and sisters in Christ who love me, who really love me. So you got a physical sickness can cause a loss of appetite. Spiritual sickness can also cause a loss of appetite for God. You got physical sickness that can cause a loss in activity. Same thing with spiritual sickness. Then you've got appreciation. When you're sick, are you really thinking about being appreciative of anything? Are you going, Lord, thank you for me having the flu? No. We're always doing this. God, why did I have to get sick? Why am I sick, Lord? Why? Why don't I feel good? You know, your appreciation goes down. Because let's be honest, who's going to say, thank you, Lord, for the flu? Unless your enemy gets the flu. If your enemy gets the flu, you might say that, but that would be wrong. But if you honestly got sick, who are you going to say thank you? You're not going to say, I appreciate it. How many people you know that have gotten cancer that go, I appreciate this cancer? Nobody. Nobody says thank you when they get sick. Same thing with spiritual sickness. When we're separated from God, are we going, God, thank you for leaving me alone? No, we're walling around in our own self-pity. We're going, God, where are you? Why are you not helping me with this situation? And the truth is, God never leaves us. We're the one that just leaves him. We're just, you know what, I'm done with this. This isn't working. And that's where we fail a lot, is if we don't get our answer right away, we're such a fast food type of individuals that if we don't get what we want right away, we blame God for it, and then we just move on. Well, I'm going to go try this. Maybe this will work. And the truth of the matter is, the only thing that's going to work is God. That's the only thing that's ever worked in my life. I've tried many things, and none of it ever worked. And having a relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that has worked, and the only thing that will work. Well, now, we get to this question of sin. So first he tells us to go to the elders if we're sick. Then he tells us, you know what, prayer works. The prayers of a righteous man works. And then in verse 16, he says something that catches everybody's ears, including mine. Verse 16, he says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Well, what are we getting healed from? Remember, there's two things we're talking about here. There's a physical sickness and there's a spiritual sickness. So you mean to tell me, Bo, if I get sick next week that I can come to you? And I'm sick, and I'm going to come to you in faith. Bo, get some oil, anoint my head in oil. Let's pray over this thing. Let's get this sickness gone. In the name of Jesus, let's pray. Let's get it gone. You mean to tell me that'll work? Yes, it will. When I think about righteous prayers and asking God to heal, I think about the one righteous prayer, and not that she hasn't had more than that, but the one righteous prayer, Jennifer. I came home that day. She was on the couch. She was crying. Nathan was on the floor. This was over 5 years ago. She was bawling her eyes out. She was tired of witnessing him having all these seizures. And I just simply said, well, why don't you just ask God to stop them? And right there, we walked into the kitchen. She prayed and she cried and she pleaded with God, please stop these seizures. Came home the next day. She's on the couch again. She's crying again. And I asked her what's wrong. And she says, he hasn't had a seizure today. And then we take him to the neurologist a couple weeks later. They do an exam on his brain. All his brain waves are fine, and he hasn't had a seizure since. Prayer works. But we have to take the first step, and that simple step of faith. Just step out in faith. Leave the results up to God. Leave the negativity in the trash can. But leave the results up to God and just step out in faith. If I was to have written down every time I stepped out in faith and God answered the prayer, I would have a nice little book right now, but I didn't write any of it down. I just remember numerous times I've stepped out in faith. The most recent one is leaving Fort Benning, where I pretty much had it made. But I stepped out in faith because I knew it's what God wanted me to do. And a lot of people say, well, wait a minute. If you leave Fort Benning, you're leaving your health insurance. Do you honestly think the health insurance is going to keep me healthy? The one that's going to keep me from getting sick is the one that overcame sickness and death, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to place all my trust in a health insurance program. I'm placing trust in Jesus. And while I'm waiting for my 90 days to kick in on my new job, I do believe I probably won't even get a pimple. Wait a minute, I got one right there. I probably won't get sick. I'm not worried about it. God will take care of me. I'm serving Him. Why wouldn't He take care of me? Because He will. Now, does that mean next week I could probably get the flu? I probably could get the flu. But am I going to blame God for the flu? No. I'll blame Jennifer. The point is this. God is able to heal us when we're sick. We just got to step out in faith. Go to somebody. Hey, get some oil, man. Well, I ain't got olive oil. Well, what you got? I got Crisco. Whatever. Use the Crisco oil. Hey, the oil doesn't do the healing. The oil is a representation of the Spirit of God that's anointing you and healing you. But the real power is in that simple childlike faith of taking that step going, look, would you pray for me with this matter? Because prayer works. But in verse 16, now we're talking about sins. And nobody, raise your hand if you like to talk about sins. Raise your hand if you like to talk about your own sins. Raise your hand if you love sinning. Nobody raised their hand. And now these days, churches really don't talk a lot about sin. They don't. If you watch a lot of these big mega churches on TV, it's about 30 minutes of praise and worship, which I have no problem with. I love praise and worship. I love praise bands and worship. I just love worship music. Love it. But I do have a problem with a feel-good message that just tickles people's ears and doesn't talk about the blood of Jesus, doesn't talk about the need for forgiveness of sins, and just leaves everybody feeling real good about themselves when they leave, when you should be really feeling bad about the sin in your life and allow God to handle that sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. The gospel message isn't feeling good when you leave. The gospel message is feeling great about who Jesus is and understanding that your sins are fully forgiven through Christ. That's good news. That's why they call it the gospel. It's good news. Well, now James says this. Confess your sins to one another. Whoa. What does that mean? Cindy, I'm so glad you asked. What does that mean? Well, I can tell you what it's not. You cannot confess your sins to someone that you can't trust. We don't have this type of person in this church. But let's just say that there was if y'all know anybody named Betty, I'm just using the name. I'm not pointing anybody out. But it just rhymes with what I'm about to say. If there's a Betty Busybody, right, in the church, and Miss Betty Busybody does nothing but run her Betty Busybody mouth, you probably don't need to go talk to Betty Busybody. Because what Betty Busybody is going to do, she's going to be a Betty Busybody, and she's going to run around and tell everybody what you just told her. And see, that's where the confession of sins gets really messed up. Because you tell people that you don't need to be telling what's going on in your life. Here's the purpose for confessing your sins. One, you cannot deal with sin if it's in the darkness. If it's underneath a rug, if it's hiding in the closet, you cannot deal with the sin. You got to get it out in the open. You got to get it out in front of everybody. Get it out in front of God. He already knows it's there, but you need to confess it to Him first. And then if you're struggling with a sin, go to somebody you trust. And here's the example. I've got a friend. I'm not going to call him out by name. But he came to me with a problem he had. And we're all adults here, and we're all teenagers. And teenagers, you need to hear what I'm about to say, and you need to pay attention to it. Because within your grasp, a phone that can get you unimaginable knowledge just like that can also cause you a lot of harm. So pay attention to what I'm about to say, teenagers. Adults, just because you're an adult don't mean you can't get in the same trap too. So listen up. My friend came to me. He says, I'm struggling with something. I says, man, what is it? And here comes the confession of sin. He said, I'm struggling with pornography. And I went, okay. He goes, what do I need to do? And then I rewind in my head. I went, wait a minute. This might be a shock to y'all. But I'm unashamed of who I used to be. At one time I had a problem with pornography. I like to look at it, like to watch it. And when he confessed this to me, I remembered someone else helping me with my problem. And now I had an opportunity to help him with his problem. So I looked at him and I said, here's what you need to do. First thing you need to do is get rid of that smartphone. Because them smartphones ain't as smart as they seem to be. They're pretty dumb. And they'll get you in a lot of trouble. So get rid of that trash of that smartphone. Because you're not going to be able to handle this. So you need to just get rid of it. What I'm going to do? I said, get a flip phone. It's hard to get on the internet on a flip phone. So he went and got a flip phone. And every Wednesday or Thursday, I'd see him at work and I'd talk to him. How you doing? He goes, man, I haven't looked at that trash in weeks. A month would go by. How you doing? Man, I haven't looked at that garbage in months. Year would go by. How you been, brother? It is no longer has a hold on me anymore. And he pulled out his new smartphone. And he goes, you want to look at it? And I said, no. He goes, no, here. Here's my smartphone. He goes, man, you can go through my cookies. You can go through all my internet searches. He goes, you can do whatever you want to do. Just go through it. I said, I don't want to go through your phone. He goes, no, man, go through my phone, man. I'm telling you, go through it. And all right, so I went to his cookies, and I was like, well, ain't nothing in there but how to you know, deer hunt. I'm like, wow, look at there. Said, well, okay. And there's nothing in there. And I'm like, well, praise God. He goes, thank you for helping me. Because I needed to confess that because I needed to deal with it. And if you don't confess sin, you can't deal with it. And pornography is just one example. And I use that example because, teenagers, please listen to what Brother Kevin's about to say, especially you girls. There are some young boys out there that would love nothing more than for you to send them an inappropriate picture through your phone. Don't do it. Young men, don't give in to the temptation to look at pornography. It's wrong. Don't do it. Don't do it. Your phones can get you in a lot of trouble. Your phones can't hide your sins. A lot of times your phones show what your sins are. The point is this. When we confess our sins to one another, we should first do it to somebody that we trust. First, you should trust Jesus. You should confess your sins to Jesus Christ first. You don't come to Brother Kevin first. Don't go to Brother Bo, Brother Bobby. No. Don't go to your mama, daddy. Go to Jesus first. He's the only one that can forgive sins. I cannot forgive sins. I can forgive people for harming me, but I can't forgive their debt of their sins against me. All I can do is say, you're forgiven. It's over with. Don't worry about it no more. But as far as the debt for that sin, only Christ can forgive sin debt. So go to Christ first. Forgive me of whatever sin that is. But if there's something in your life that you're struggling with, that's why the body of Christ is here. We're a family. We're supposed to love and encourage one another and help each other. If there's something that you're struggling with, go to somebody in the church that you can trust that won't be a Betty busybody and gossip about you, but that will legitimately get on their hands and knees before Almighty God and pray with you with this struggle. Because if you're saying to yourself right now that I ain't got a struggle, your one struggle is probably that you're a liar. Because we all struggle with something. There's always something that we struggle with. So when James says, confess your sins to one another, we should do that. But make sure when you do it with somebody you trust. Somebody you know won't go talk about you behind your back. And somebody that you know that will come alongside you and not only be a prayer warrior, but be a person that holds you accountable. Do you know how many people that I have that hold me accountable? A lot. Because I need that. Brother Barry Fleming holds me accountable. Dr. Lawrence Thompson holds me accountable. John Burnett, pastor of Hilton Terrace Baptist Church, Columbus, Georgia, holds me accountable. Cecil Butler holds me accountable. Bo, Jake, Bobby holds me accountable. Everybody here at Harris Baptist Church holds me accountable. I don't mind being held accountable for my actions because my actions should resemble Jesus Christ. So when they do hold me accountable for something, it's only accountable for the good things that I've been doing in the name of Jesus. But now there may be some bad things I do. I need to be held accountable for them. And then I need to repent and confess. Because confession doesn't end when you become a pastor. Actually, it just begins. I've confessed more now as a pastor than I ever did before I was just sitting in a pew. I know that if I want to experience that word heal, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, I need to take that step in faith and confess my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Step out in faith. Heal me, Lord. Heal my body. I'm hurting. God will do it. But then ultimately step out in faith and say, heal my soul. Save me, Lord. Because we cannot save ourselves. And we can't. Sometimes we cannot even overcome our own personal temptations. Confess your sins to one another. It's a biblical sound thing to do. But don't go doing it to Betty Busybody. Because she's going to tell everybody down the road and across the street. And before you know it, you'll be worse for it. Confess to somebody you love. Ask that person to come alongside of you and pray for whatever it is you're struggling with. I guarantee you, you've got a struggle. And watch God use that person that you trust to help you overcome that struggle. And then watch what God does through you after you've overcome that struggle, and then you get to help somebody else out. It's an amazing thing to watch God work in your life. Amen? So, last week was love one another. We learned that we should learn about each other, we should obey Jesus, we should value life, and we should encourage one another. Today we've learned that we should confess our sins to one another for the purpose of there should be nothing hidden within the body of Christ. But be aware, some folks can't keep a secret. So confess to somebody you trust. And if it's a secret about a surprise party, don't tell me. I'll probably tell somebody. But if there's something in your life that you need to talk with me about, I'm pretty sure that I've probably been through it. And I'd be more than glad to talk with you, pray with you, and let you know that when you give something to God, He handles it. Amen? Let's pray.